Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. So often it is easy to take things for granted. A roof over your head, a warm bed, food in the fridge. Your favorite restaurant is open, or a quick stop for a double-double. This week's show peeks behind the curtain on things we rarely give a second thought, if we are so fortunate to have a home or to access food. There are many people who cannot afford to live in Coburg. With a vacancy rate of less than 0.5% and the average rent between $1,000 and $1,500 a month, it is nearly impossible for some. And let's not forget that there's only one emergency shelter for the homeless in all of Northumberland County. But having enough food to eat is also a basic need. For that, we depend on our farmers to ensure a supply. Agriculture is a major part of the local economy. During the pandemic, many people have turned to farmers' markets and direct access to producers to obtain locally grown foods. So on today's show, we're going to be looking at these two aspects of the community. The first interview will tell us about an important meeting being held on September 28th at Victoria Hall about the future of affordable housing. Next, I will talk to the Board of Directors of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture to discuss the harvest taking place right now. We will discuss the pandemic, but also take a look forward. So let's begin with Coburg politician and community activist, Councillor Nicole Beatty. She's responsible for all matters dealing with planning. And the Town of Coburg, Director of Planning and Development, Glenn McClashan. It's always nice to be joined by my guests today. I'm talking to Coburg politician and community activist, Councillor Nicole Beatty. And also with me today is the Town of Coburg's Director of Planning and Development, Glenn McClashan. Welcome to Consider This.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having us both.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
We're going to talk today about a public meeting that is going to be held on Monday, September 28th, 2020 at 5 p.m. in the second floor concert hall at Victoria Hall, that's at 55 King Street West, regarding a proposed affordable and rental housing community improvement plan. Now, it's my understanding that you must attend in person and you must notify the town in advance, but you can also make written submissions and you can watch it on YouTube. There's no Zoom with this, is there?
No, that's correct, Rob. This will be a live in-person public meeting. This will be the first public meeting since the COVID pandemic began. So it is certainly encouraged that people attend and certainly register with the clerk. However, it is not a prerequisite. And as you've indicated, written submissions are also certainly encouraged. And observing the proceedings on the town's YouTube channel is also an option as well. One thing I should add is that our Engage Coburg webpage does have some really good significant information for public input and consultation, including all of the background information and presentation of virtual presentation that people can watch. It's about maybe 15 minutes long. And so certainly there are various options for people to either attend or provide feedback.
What is this all about? What is this affordable rental housing community improvement plan? Maybe Glenn, I'll start with you on the technical side and then I'll talk to Nicole about the other side of it.
Okay, so actually it kind of, just to give a little background, it goes back to around 2018 when the County of Northumberland embarked on their countywide affordable housing strategy. So this particular review came out with a number of recommendations, some of which were policy and regulatory based, so changing some policies and rules to assist in provision of housing, affordable housing, and rental housing in general, but also provided some programming options for municipalities to help in this mandate. And one of those was the creation of a community improvement plan to provide a suite or a toolbox of incentives for housing providers to assist them in supplying new affordable and rental housing units in their communities. The community improvement plan also touches upon a number of, value-added elements, including the provision of incentives for increasing sustainability, accessibility, and economic development of brownfield. To provide development and retrofits of existing buildings to improve sustainability, accessibility, and universal design, and to help remediate brownfields, which are lands that have been previously contaminated. So not only is the Affordable and Rental Housing Community Improvement Plan aimed at providing for affordable and rental housing, but it's also to provide a tool to help align with the town's climate change objectives for sustainability and accessibility.
So there's a lot in there, Glenn, and I know we're going to come back to different aspects of that, and we'll tease it all out. But before we do that, Councillor Beatty, I'd be interested from council's perspective, what is this affordable and rental housing community improvement plan fit into its overall objectives?
I appreciate that question. I want to comment on, I'm one of seven councillors, so my following statement will be definitely mine as an elected official and as a coordinator of planning. I can't necessarily speak for all of council, but obviously the number one priority that appeared in our four-year strategic plan under people was investing in the well-being of Coburg residents, and primarily through supporting the county, that keyword alignment in developing, diversifying our housing stock, especially on the rental spectrum. So not only so that it's more affordable for Coburgians, but so that it can also complement our economic development goals. I know I hear from prospective businesses or manufacturers coming to town that even if they wanted to relocate operations to Coburg, as you can see from our vacancy, there's a long wait list and for people to live, whether you can attain an affordable house or you're needing some social support to have a place to shelter safely. I also think this affordable housing CIP was inevitable in many ways. Clearly, pretty much everyone who ran for council in 2018, affordable housing, community well-being was part of our platforms. This is a trend across Canada as all levels of government have to work in partnership and coordinated efforts to realize affordable housing. I fundamentally believe all levels of government have a responsibility in caring for its citizens.
But is it not a bit frustrating? I know for many, many years, municipalities looked to the provincial and federal governments for funding for affordable housing units. And there was a big delay in monies flowing down, or there wasn't enough. And when you look at it from that perspective, I mean, is it a bit frustrating that as a municipality, it comes down to the fact that you guys have to give grants and loans to stimulate this kind of development because the province and the federal government don't seem to be making the types of investments that we really need to get caught up, as Nicole, you so rightly said, because we have such a great demand for affordable housing in our community.
I hear you, Rob, and in my typical half glass half full attitude, I try to turn that frustration into how can we facilitate action. I think in recent years, seeing the federal government take action on a national housing strategy that personally is decades past, but our federal government taking action on that. At the provincial level, seeing adjustments made to the provincial policy statement to enable, to make it easier for some of these affordable and attainable housing solutions such as secondary suites, tiny homes, finally being permitted so that the municipality can action on it. The fact that our county has invested in not only their 10-year homelessness program, but broadening that into their affordable housing strategy. And finally, the municipality being able to come forward through a tool such as the director indicated with the Planning Act and being able to enact this CIP. So is it frustrating when the world's in crisis, we never move fast enough. But I think the important thing is focusing on, we are putting strategies in place now that hopefully immediately in the now and in the forthcoming years and councils hereafter, we're going to start seeing the fruits of our labor being built and ultimately, as all level governments want to see, our citizens housed affordably and sustainably.
So it might be a good time just to step back a bit and we'll start to tease out some of these ideas because, you know, we keep talking about a community improvement plan or a CIP. And this is sort of a, if I understand it correctly, an amalgamation of a strategic plan, also policy review and policy changes, but also there are financial aspects to it in terms of grants and incentives and loans. So those are the, am I right that those are the three sort of basic components that make up any type of community improvement plan? And this is not the first one as well. Am I correct in that?
Yes, community improvement plans are specifically designed to provide a financial toolbox of incentives. And many times the municipalities' incentives go part and parcel with provincial and federal programs. So basically a lot of the incentives are, yes, they're financially based, as you mentioned, but also policy and regulatory based, because you also want to make sure that the environment is conducive to allowing these units, whether it be policies for second units, policies to provide for intensification, and regulations which help, say, lessen some of the standards potentially for second units to be created or higher density developments to be created as well. So,
okay. So, Nicole, then when we hear this, there might be some people out there that would say, look, it's not the job of council to be in the banking business, you know, giving out no interest loans and incentives. You know, we should just leave it to the banks and to other lending institutions and let the free market reign. Why is it essential that council put this plan in place and to provide the package that it's about to provide?
And I appreciate that question, Rob. I don't think a CIP in the town of Cobourg and other municipalities of this size is not new. We've had heritage incentive programs. We've had our downtown revitalization CIP that's on pause right now while the town invests in the affordable housing CIP. And really key for listeners to understand that this is a town-wide CIP, which is new for the community, whereas our previous one was for the downtown core only. So open boundary to the town of Cobourg. And as the director pointed out, it dives a little bit deeper than just affordable housing, addressing accessibility, brownfield sustainability. So really an opportunity to provide an inclusive approach to all sorts of next generation developments that a community like Cobourg needs to see. But to answer your question, I think there's a few things in this. There's the kind of almost the expectation that is set by other levels of government. For example, the CMHC funding that the director gave an example of actually requires these projects to show commitment from another level of government. Our provincial government not showing that support, the county showing its support in different ways. So to check that box, you know, there's kind of that community social responsibility and leadership shown by the municipality. You will have some residents or ratepayers say, yes, it's our social responsibility to make sure everyone is cared for. And you will have others saying, that's not how I want my tax money spent. And I think you'll see through the CIP that it's just not direct cash that is being handed out to some of these projects. A lot of it is just relief over the long term. And I think one of the key things that I know that really excite me about the CIP, and it's defined in the virtual presentation for the public meeting, is the CIP is really an opportunity to remove barriers right now for long-term outcomes for the community. And in this sense, it's rental and affordable housing. And I think for me as a counselor, what it really comes down to is if we can remove barriers to address what I think is an astonishing number, and it's mentioned in the report, is that Cobourg has a very low rental vacancy, an average of 0.04%, even reaching 0.0% for bachelor and three bedroom units. So if the municipality can play a role in stimulating and providing some immediate relief for long-term gain in the housing stock, I for one am behind it. And obviously with this project to date receiving unanimous support from council, this term of council is behind that as well.
The town, through its downtown community improvement plan, spent around $400,000, but also around $370,000 in repayable loans. That returned in the period between 2016 and 2019. That's how much they spent. It returned $2.6 million in construction projects in that project. So I guess in terms of, you know, in terms of cash outlay and then what returned to the town, and of course, all that becomes, you know, they become taxpayers, property taxpayers, who then in turn are paying taxes and those monies come back into the coffers. So I just wanted to get those numbers out there. Glenn, you had something you wanted to add.
No, I just wanted to say as well, to touch upon what Councillor Beattie was saying about, you know, the county and the town's relationship in providing housing. You know, as the county, as our region's housing service manager, is an actual housing provider, and they also help funnel funds from upper levels of government into, you know, rent geared to income and other forms of housing. So they are an actual housing provider through a corporation. And that, I think, really, in my opinion, should stay with the county. I don't think the town should really get into building, bricks and mortar housing for affordable housing. However, in terms of development and, issuing permits and providing for new housing, that's a town responsibility. And there certainly are a lot of upfront costs for these housing providers that the county really has no either jurisdiction or control over. So that's where the municipality comes into play, and that, like, we're not providing for the actual bricks and mortar, but we're helping stimulate the provision of bricks and mortar through the relief on our fees and charges, whether it be deferrals or grants or forgivable loans or even low interest loans. So I think our role is much more kind of closer to the ground where the rubber hits the road in helping provide and stimulate housing, whereas the county is in kind of a collaborative approach. They're sort of the manager of a lot of existing affordable housing units, and they are also the intermediary between upper levels of government in focusing the dollars in communities that really need it in their region. So I think it is certainly a very collaborative approach. And part of the affordable housing strategy recommendation was that the county establish an affordable housing implementation working group. And that working group has met several times over the last year to look at implementing the various strategies and recommendations of our affordable housing strategy. So we definitely, you know, we're very much in communication with the county, and it's a two-way street conversation. So definitely a lot to say about collaboration.
I'd like to change gears a little bit here and now focus in on the meeting itself. So Nicole, could you tell us, why should people be involved in this meeting? Why should they show up or watch on YouTube or write a submission?
I appreciate that question. I appreciate all your questions. I think there's three key audiences that I believe, four key audiences that would be interested and hopefully engaged and either submit correspondence, follow on YouTube, or attend in reconnect with us in person at the concert hall. The first are developers, community-minded developers that are looking to call Coburg home, develop in Coburg, and provide that mixed use blend of market and affordable rentals. Nonprofit organizations, our Affordable Housing Committee, who is just a diverse group of developers, social housing support, social services, agencies that support folks in transition housing, emergency shelters. These are the folks that are on the front lines. They're really understanding, they're informing and advocating council what the crisis actually is. I think they need to be there to ensure that we are getting that component of the CIP accurately, or that we are accurately addressing that need. I think that there are those who are just interested in maintaining or attaining home in Coburg, and then also to the general public, taxpayers who are invested in the well-being of our community, and more importantly, who are following this council and want to see council not only acting upon but implementing a key strategic objective of our four-year terms plan. I think this is really exciting for the community. It's a first for a member municipality in Northumberland County. This is the way that municipal and regional government partnerships are going. And so I think it's a really important project for the town of Coburg and our citizens at large.
So following up to something you said earlier, you mentioned that employers are concerned that people who they want to work for them can't live within the town to work in their factories or in their stores or their jobs. So answer the broader question then, why should people care about this? I mean, what are the issues that we're really dealing with? I mean, we've talked a lot about policy and a lot of technical stuff, but when the rubber hits the road, there's some really fundamental things we're talking about here. We're talking about homelessness. We're talking about the ability to have a vibrant economy. What are the other issues that people should be thinking about that might motivate them to care that this is actually going on and not ignore it?
Mm-hmm. I might just briefly give my citizen and extending on that a political view. And then I think it's important to hear from the director, especially from a larger long-term official plan and the broader landscape of how Coburg is developing to address those other sectors. You know, economic development and sheltering in place, having an affordable home, to me go hand in hand. You need a living wage to afford said home or rent, but you also need the home to ensure that folks can work here. The pandemic is showing even more how we want to live, work, and play locally. That concept of a 20-minute radius city. You know, Coburg has a bit of a bedroom community culture, a commuter culture. Even if you wanted to work in Coburg and you could afford to live, is there a place to buy? Vice versa. If you work in Coburg, but you've had to migrate out due to limited vacancy to no vacancy, to that vacancy driving up high rents. So I think they ultimately go hand in hand. And social determinants of health advocates are always going to say that economic vitality and the right to shelter do go hand in hand. And by shelter, I mean a place to live, a roof over your head. So you can't do one without the other, in my personal, professional, and political opinion. But I'll pause there because I think the director could probably offer his own opinion or expand upon that, more importantly, about how our official plan needs to address that.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, so definitely very, very good points, Councillor Beattie. And, you know, our primary objective is to try to create a complete community, one which is not concentrating, you know, certain types of developments or units, but creating a fully inclusive community of all various land uses and housing types and employment opportunities. So, you know, we can, you know, not have to be a bedroom community, So I think that's really kind of where we're heading.
So Nicole, I want to end up with you. I want you to imagine you're sitting at a kitchen table with somebody in Coburg. You're having a cup of coffee and you're looking at them and you're going to tell them why they should be coming out and reading this report and giving feedback and being engaged in this particular meeting.
Wow, that's a very big question. I think as I would say, naturally to my partner pretty much every morning when we're reflecting and talking about the business of the day, I think there's a few things. I think we all know someone who is struggling to either find a home or maintain their home, especially given in this pandemic. Coburg is a place where neighbors care and compassionate to one another. I think Coburg residents have been advocating for change, have been advocating for their leadership to be more than just about roads and bridges and actually looking at the moral issue of making sure residents are also housed properly. Again, not by doing the bricks and mortar, but by setting the policy and some programs in place to invite people to help us develop and grow. Coburg is changing, and with that, we want to be an inclusive community. We want people to relocate to Coburg. We want people to be able to afford to live here. We want industry to come here. So when I campaigned, what I heard from every door that I knocked on and every conversation since is they want an accountable and transparent council that communicates, listens, and takes action on community input. This public meeting is evidence and a result of that. So this public meeting is an invitation for nonprofit leaders, Coburg residents and developers, and the general public at large to come and actually see the result of council and staff listening for more than 2 years and actually bringing to light not only something in our strategic plan, but this is a result of community conversations that have been happening at the county level for many years and now at the local level since 2018. So this is an public. We want you to be engaged. This is a council that is listening, and we're taking what we hear and turning that into tangible action. And I truly believe that this CIP is a result of us listening and learning, working in collaboration with staff in the county. And I really do hope that this CIP is not only well attended on the 28th, but well received moving forward.
So there you go. Be at this public meeting on Monday, September 28th at 5 p.m. on the second floor of Victoria Hall. And there you'll be able to hear more about this proposed affordable rental housing community improvement plan. Thank you both for being with me this morning.
Thank you, Rob. And thank you for the stories you tell in our community.
Thank you, Rob. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks.
That was Councillor Nicole Beattie and Director of Planning and Development Glenn McClashan talking about the Community Improvement Plan for Affordable Housing. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.